Today's sermon is entitled, The Truth About Growing Up. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray. The Lord God of our hearts, minds, souls, and spirits, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I read the Boston Globe with my dog Grace in my morning coffee, and while Grace is never worried about what's in the paper, she has very little trepidation over future events. The Globe really tries its best to instill a sense that we're hovering on a threshold. And it might be another article on gun violence and how many mass shootings there are, or how many more it will take before we try to at least try to do something more than collective shoulder shrugging, or maybe it's about climate change that has reached yet another extreme. And some scientists predict that the new normal is going to be ways that make me want to buy a larger air conditioner, which incidentally only contributes to the problem of weather extremes, but that's another sermon for another day. Maybe they give me this worrisome tome on how there's been, or not been rather, an honest-to-goodness recession in a while. But it's coming. I look out my patio door and I half expect to see Chicken Little standing there, pointing skyward and squawking away, "The sky has fallen! The sky has fallen!" There's a great many things we read about or experience in our lives that make us anxious, waiting for the other shoe to drop. It often seems as if ours is the most anxious time in history, at least from our selfish perspective in a remarkably affluent and outwardly secure corner of God's world. Americans have been shaken, but not, they've been shaken pretty good. Not just stirred, shaken. And it's hard to get our bearings these days. We live with this heightened awareness of this great unease, unsure where it started from or where it's going, this sense of foreboding that unfortunately is all just part of the human condition. We're not alone in this, however. We see the weeds, but so does God. All creation, Jesus tells us, is poised, waiting for fulfillment, waiting with longing for something. The field is almost ready for the harvest, but it's far from perfect. What should be a bountiful crop of wheat is going to be half weeds. But until that harvest, when there's this drastic sorted out, that the scripture says, the weeds and wheat must be left to grow together. If the wheat, a universal symbol of nourishment, flourishes, then so too do the useless choking weeds. All we can do is wait for the time of decision, the irrevocable sorting out, right? But Jesus reminds us that the kingdom of God is here, but it's just starting to unfold in ways that we can't see or know. Jesus reminds us that we aren't there yet. We know we have sin and angst and things in the world that don't let God's gifts flourish but destroy them, and folks who even revel in that witness. And yet we're told that we must let things grow and unfold. But it's also a time of looking forward to some sort of resolution. For now, we live in the great not yet. We're simply poised on a threshold of some sort, But, yeah, okay, what else is new? To use the imagery employed by Jesus in this parable, we are always awaiting the fullness of God's kingdom. But rather than searching for the other shoe, Jesus' words are heralding the fulfillment of all our hopes and prayers when we pray, sometimes mindlessly, that God's kingdom come on earth as God's will be done on earth. But this means all the earth. Washington, D.C., Ukraine, Nigeria, Colombia, Syria. We rarely include ourselves, don't we, in the assessment of the weeds. Let's not forget the affluent suburbs at that judgment time. And yet, if we knew precisely how and when the waiting would end, then our life in Christ would be simply an exercise in pious persistence, wouldn't it? It'd be like waiting at the airport until our flight is announced or standing in line at the supermarket checkout. Is there any tension whatsoever in this kind of waiting? Heck no. That kind of waiting is just tedious and boring, isn't it? Here in Greenland, we're the small town lucky ones waiting for the inbreaking of the kingdom, aren't we? It's like no other kind of waiting. It's not the routine humdrum marking of time in our daily lives or the terror and dread of devastation. It's the waiting in hope for something that is not seen and yet we know is real. Jesus says we can't see the wind, yet we can see that the wind is present. So it is with the kingdom of God. A longing and a waiting beyond words. But what about those noxious weeds? What about the judgment that Jesus makes so very clear in this parable? Do any of us remember the Left Behind series of books so popular in telling us that God suddenly pulls the switch on the end of the world and here's what happens to the weeds of us? There's some folks in this world who are happy to build their lives around being the blessed ones who are in God's favor that give lifted up and out. Any more troubles in our world? The heck with the rest of you. I'll tell you, I grew up around that, and I know that one pretty well. The problem is that assumes that we're the wheat, and that we're not the weeds ourselves. I believe most of us are happy to muddle on for a bit, living into the promise of things hoped for but not seen. Just having the promise is enough for now, for me. I think we should think about the weeds a little more often and wonder what they have anything to do with us. Most of us persuade ourselves that Jesus is talking about someone else. Someone a little less worthy of saving. All those people who surely have no place in God's kingdom because of what they did or who they are. Surely not me, Lord. Surely he's talking about weedy people doing some unspeakable thing to folks we don't know in a faraway country that we can plug on the compost heap, if not the cleansing fire. It's much more comforting to hope that we are the pure wheat and that the weeds, yeah, they're quite disposable. But that's not what the parable says. And I want to leave you with these final thoughts. For my 2 cents, the concept of weeds is a little more complicated. In our honest moments, we know that we are not pure wheat, but that we have some quality of the weeds in us. Qualities that we need to be free of before we can grow, like the seeds in the good soil we talked about last week. Or maybe we fail to grow and thrive because we're fine quality Durum wheat, of course. But maybe we fail to grow and thrive because we let ourselves be choked and thwarted by the weeds around us. I'm really in no hurry for some kind of final day. I never envisioned God as an eternal punisher eager to get revenge on God's creation if they didn't do this or that. I kind of bounce back and forth between two images. In one, the people of God are filled for the yearning of God. In the other, they're part of God's garden, active and growing toward the ultimate harvest. Both images remind us that we are living in a not-yet time. We live in a radical trust that God's promise will be fulfilled. We wait. We labor. We hope for that which is not seen. Oh, and you know that other shoe that was supposed to drop? Well, I missed the first shoe dropping, so I'm not sure there's a second one after all. That, or it did drop, and I just never heard or saw it. God help my eyes and ears be focused on thee and not me. Amen.